ओम शांति। मधुबन इज बाबाज होम, योर फादर्स होम, योर होम, वेयर यू कम टू गेट द नेक्टर ऑफ लाइफ which is Baba's elevated knowledge. Knowledge is the real nectar of life, which teaches us how to live, what to think, how to behave, through Srimad, we come to know everything. And according to today's blessing, in which Baba said, you can transform karma bhog into karma yog. Bhog means suffering. So suffering of karma into yoga and karma. As we are all souls, we cannot stay without karma. We cannot stay without action. The soul, when it is in the soul world, it is beyond actions. It is even beyond thoughts. It is beyond any type of experience. But when the soul comes in the body, experience begins. The original sanskars are revealed through the body. But as we know that our original sanskars are very pure, therefore every soul is a very pure soul. It is like pure gold. Everything is very pure in its original state, but gradually it becomes impure. So we souls are very pure in our original state. But as we come into the body, as we come in the cycle of birth and death, as we perform actions, then there is a cycle of action and fruit of action. When we are in the golden age, we receive the fruit of the actions we do at the confluence age. Whatever we do now, we reap for that for the next 2,500 years, Baba says. In golden age, we are just reaping the fruit, reaping, eating. We don't sow the seed there. We don't sow the seed of karma. We just reap the fruit of the seed of karma sowed at the confluence age. Many people question, if we were such elevated deities, so pure, full of virtues, then how did the vices come? From where did they come? Why did sorrow begin? So Baba has explained the cycle to us that whatever righteous actions we perform at the confluence age, we reap for them from the next 2,500 years. one seed sown gives so much fruit. You know, that is why there is a saying, you can count the seeds in a fruit. You know, when you cut a fruit, there's always a seed in it. There are few fruits which are seedless, maybe. But whenever you cut any fruit, there's always a seed in it. So you can count the seeds of in a fruit. But can you count the fruits in a seed? Can you know beforehand how many fruits you are going to get after sowing one seed in the soil? Unlimited fruits. So too, the confluence age is such an age where with little effort we get so much reward, so much fruit, because we are under the instructions of God. We are following His Srimad, and therefore the reward is unlimited. But then everything must change. Nothing is like stagnant or still. Nature means always in motion, always in movement. And therefore we have the day and night, we have the seasons, we have all these things. So too, the soul goes through these different stages. So many question that why did we fall? The answer is simple. We finished the fruit of our elevated actions which we performed at the confluence age. It's just like you invest, you know, you deposit some money in a bank, maybe $100,000, whatever. And after depositing $100,000, every day you remove 1,000. Every day you withdraw 1,000. Then what will happen without depositing any more? What will happen? After 100 days, all the money will finish in the bank in 100 days. Well, you may say we may get some interest. But how much interest? So at this time, whatever we sow along with the interest, we reap that in golden age and silver age. And therefore, it is just eating the fruit. Whatever actions we do in the golden age and silver age, they are not those actions which make us sow a seed. Those actions are the fruit of the seed we have sown in the confluence age. And therefore it's just reaping and reaping and reaping, eating and eating and eating, without depositing anything, without sowing anything, without investing anything. It's just taking and taking, without giving anything. Nature is giving everything to the deities to its fullest extent. And there, because we don't have the knowledge, we think, well, this is our life. But then everything has a limit. And therefore when we have finished the fruit of our righteous actions at the confluence age, which lasts for 2,500 years, Baba says, then the new karma accounts begin. And that is why we say Copper Age starts. Copper Age, or whatever ages we go through, in Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, Iron Age, Confluence Age, we say it's not that the karma is based on those ages, but the ages are based on the karma. According to our karma, the ages change. At this time, we perform the elevated actions and therefore it is called Sangam Yoga, confluence age. In golden age and silver age, we won't say we perform the righteous action, we perform only neutral actions, neutralizing actions rather. And the righteous actions are neutralized, are deducted, reduced, subtracted. Ultimately, we come to the end of silver age when everything is nullified. And then the new karmas begin. That is where body consciousness starts. The vices enter, which are a result of body consciousness. And then the actions become vicious actions. And that is where karma bhog also begins. Sorrow begins, as Baba says. In three ways we can say. In the form of suffering through the body, suffering through wealth, suffering through the mind, and suffering through relationships. In Hindi we have very lovely rhyming words, tan, man, dhan, jan. You know, in Hindi we have these words. Tan means the body, man means the mind, dhan means wealth, and jan means relationships. It is through these four we reap the good fruit. It is through these four that we reap for our bad karmas, or our sinful karma, or unrighteous karma, or vicious karma, whatever you may say. In golden age, all these four give us happiness. The body gives us happiness, the mind gives us happiness, wealth gives us happiness, and also relationships give us happiness. And that is the fruit of our good karma, righteous karma of the confluence age. So we create all these four at this time. Body, mind, wealth, relationships. All the relationships in golden age and silver age are also based on the karma we do now. You know? So that is why Baba says, at this time you are creating such a great fortune. But then, when that finishes, all the new accounts begin. The soul becomes influenced by the body, then by matter, and our karmas change. And thereby, everything gets affected. The body gets affected, the mind gets affected, our wealth gets affected, relationships get affected too. And gradually we say the burden of our sinful actions, vicious actions, that increases and we start reaping through these four forms. The physical ailments definitely are the result of our actions. Stress, strain in the mind, depression, anxiety, fear, all that which comes in the mind, the mental diseases, what we call as, they too are the result of our own karma. Wealth problems, again, the result of our karma. Relationship problem, again, the result of our karma. And then, as our karmas keep on becoming more and more vicious, all these four are affected more and more. And this is why we are seeing at the end of Kali Yuga, Iron Age, all these four, body, mind, wealth and relationships, that is part of life. All the four have become more like a bondage rather than happiness-giving things. That is why we are seeing how more and more people are prone to suicide. They want to die. They don't want to live in this world. They don't want to. It could be either because of a sick body. It could be either because of, you know, mental problems. It could be either because of lack of wealth. It could also be because of relationship problem. So this is the four types of problems which everyone in this world is facing. Well, some may be facing one, some may be facing two, some may be facing three, some may be facing all four. You know, somebody may say, my health is very good, no problem with my body, very good health, but mind is not peaceful. Somebody may say, mind is very peaceful, very happy, but body is not healthy. Somebody may have very good health and good sound mind, but wealth problem, not enough money, you know. Somebody may have lots of wealth to no problem with lots of wealth, mind okay, and body good too, but then relationship problem. So either of the four or all four have become like obstacles in life. Any type of obstacle or problem what we see in today's world will be from either of these four. So Baba says that for half a kalpa, through these four forms, we have been reaping for our actions. And nobody else can reap for my actions. Nobody else. You know, they say that if somebody sows a seed, somebody else can eat a fruit. It's not that only the one who sows, that one will eat the fruit. Many eat. I sow a seed, so many eat. In the olden days, it used to be said for a mango tree, they would say that grandfather sows a mango seed and grandchildren reap the fruit. Because the fruits of mango used to come after a very, very long time after sowing the seed. So grandfather would sow and grandchildren would eat that fruit. There was a story that how an old man was sowing a mango seed. And somebody told him, you at this age, I don't know how many more years you are going to live. At this time you are sowing, at this time of the age you are sowing the mango seed, when will you eat the fruit of this seed? He said, doesn't matter, my grandfather sowed the mango seed, which I am eating now, so what I sow, my grandchildren will eat. So that is okay for these physical seeds. You know, there's a joke on this, a very interesting joke, you like it. Once in a hotel, it was written outside, eat as much as you want, your grandchildren will pay the bill. So someone came and he ate a lot, you know, and then a bill was put in front of him. He said, what is this? You have written, you eat as much as you want, your grandchildren will pay your bill. He said, no, this is not your bill, it's your grandfather's bill. Understand? It's your grandfather's bill. Your grandfather ate and that you are the grandson and therefore you have to pay for this bill. Okay, your bill your grandchildren will pay. But this is only a joke. You have to pay your own bill. Why should somebody else pay your bill? Anyway, but even if somebody else pays or somebody else eats the fruit of the seed you have sown, it can happen. But karma seed, nobody else will reap, no one. If I have sown, I will reap. But then, we do not have to create that consciousness. Sometimes when my body is sick, I shouldn't say, oh, my karma, my karma, my karma. No. I know it's my karma. Nobody else is going to experience my stomach ache. If I have stomach ache, I have to bear that pain. Nobody else is going to take away that pain of my stomach from me. I have to bear it. So this is what Baba says, we have to change karma bhog, means suffering of our karma, into karma yoga. That even if the body is not well, even if the mind may not be in a good condition, even if I am not having enough sufficient wealth, even if there are relationship problems, but how to transfer that, convert that into karma yoga? So what is karma yoga? Karma yoga means performing karma in Baba's remembrance. Baba's remembrance acts like that medicine which corrects all these four things. Body, mind, wealth and relationships. Some people define karma yoga in a different way. They define karma yoga as work is worship. You worship your work. Whatever you are doing, worship that. Be so much engrossed in it that that is your God, that is your worship, that is your devotion. Baba says, no. That's not the real meaning of karma yoga. It means that action, your hands are doing the actions, but let your mind be with God. Because why that is karma yoga? This is called doing karma with your hands, giving your heart to God. If you are only karma conscious, without giving your heart to God whilst performing the karma, then you will want the results very much. You will definitely want the results. But karma yoga says, do your actions and leave the result to God. Doing actions is in your hand, but result is not in your hand, it is in God's hand. There's a very beautiful Sanskrit shloka on this in the Gita. Karmane vadhika raste ma phaleshu kadachanam. You have every right to do the karma. It's in your hand. No? But fruit is in God's hand. Now this has a very deep meaning. It means that you do your utmost, your best as possible. But don't think of the results. Because if you think of only the result and you are doing the karma, just seeing the result, then supposing you get success, you will not only be very proud of it, but that ego will come. It's because of me, I did it, and this is why the success, the ego will come. And if you are doing that karma and the result isn't good, is a failure maybe, then there is so much sorrow. Oh, I did so much, and see the result? This is what I had to get. After all the pain I took, then the sorrow comes. And that leads to depression, you know, so much of suffering. Because we become result conscious, we become karma conscious. We do not become soul conscious and God conscious. And real karma yoga means to become soul conscious and God conscious, where you do your actions in a soul conscious state, in the remembrance of God, and after the work is completed, don't think of the result, but give that result to God to handle it. And if the result is good, well, thank God that the result was good. And consider yourself only to be an instrument in the hands of God. It is with His strength and power that you are working. That's what we say as Karan Karavanhar. Baba is the karavanhar who is getting it done through you, and the results you leave it up to him. You do your best. And if the result is good, thank Baba. Not have that ego, I did it. You say, Baba gave the strength, Baba helped, Baba did it for me, I was only an instrument. And if there is a failure, then there is still no sorrow, because you know that you tried your best. You did your best. Never mind, it was an experience. You can do better next time. Because failures are not defeat. There's a big difference between failure and defeat. A failure is actually a pillar of success. It's a stepping stone towards success. Defeat is finished for all. So failures are not defeat. So whatever happened was only a failure, not a defeat. You can try again. It's only a stepping stone to success because you gained experience. That is why there's a very beautiful saying, a bad judgment may lead to a bad experience. A wrong judgment may lead to a bad experience. But do not allow that bad experience to make you have a bad judgment again. So a wrong judgment leads to a bad experience, but let that bad experience make you give a good judgment later on. Because you have now become experienced, so you know what to do next time. But let not that result affect you. And therefore failure is not a defeat. So karma yoga means whatever you do, you have the consciousness, I am only a soul in this body, and my mind is with God, and in His remembrance I am performing this action and giving the result to God. This is one aspect of karma yoga. And then when it comes to changing karma bhog to karma yoga, it's not just I'm performing the action, I'm only an instrument, but everything of mine belongs to God. That is what Baba says. This body doesn't belong to me. The mind doesn't belong to me. The wealth doesn't belong to me. These relationships also, they don't belong to me. Nothing actually is mine. This body I get from matter. And at the end I have to give it back to matter. It didn't accompany me from Paramdham, nor will it accompany me back to Paramdham when I return. I didn't have it before and I will not have it after. I got it only in this world, this physical body. So even if there is karma bhog, you know, the suffering may be the stomach ache, headache, whatever, any physical ailment, through the method of soul consciousness, I can really overcome it. I can overcome it. Somebody questioned me, how to experience soul consciousness? How to experience soul consciousness? Baba says, you are a soul. How can I experience it? Well, first it must come in the awareness. You have the awareness that you are a woman, you are a man. You have the awareness that this is your name. You have the awareness this is your occupation, this is your country. You know, that awareness is there. But the awareness of the soul is forgotten. The physical awareness has become so strong in us that the spiritual awareness is totally forgotten. The soul has become so body conscious from, 63 births, that at the end of either age, soul consciousness is totally gone into oblivion. People are identifying themselves only with the body. And when at this time Baba comes and keeps telling us, children, you are a soul, you are a soul. So We have to have that consciousness through that awareness. Yes, I am the soul. Like Baba keeps saying, I'm a soul looking through these eyes. I'm a soul speaking, I'm a soul listening, I'm a soul raising my hand and doing the action. If I, the soul, would not be in this body wouldn't be able to do anything. So I'm able to, in this way, detach my mind from the pull of the body. Through this consciousness, I'm a soul different from the body. I'm here. And therefore, when we meditate also, in a second, we should be able to transcend from the pull of the body and become aware of the self here at the center of the forehead. You know, very often we say that all other type of hatha yogas end, Raj Yoga begins. You know, hatha yoga is all the physical exercises, even pranayama, whatever they do in today's world, the physical asanas. At the end of all that, they do shavasana. Shavasana means the death posture. And in that death posture, they are made to just lie down flat. And when they lie down flat, they start having that consciousness like, and the feet are dead, you know, no movement, no strength, it's dead, like something which is dead has no strength. So, this is dead, this is dead. Shav means death, like dead body. Shav is a dead body. So, feet are dead, legs are dead, this is, everything is dead, stomach is dead, this is dead, you know. They say relax, actually they mean this is all dead. Relax, relax, relax. Ultimately they come here. This is the point. The Agya Chakra, they say. There are many chakras, they say, and this is the center. And ultimately when they reach here, they say that now they are in their highest stage. Because the body is totally dead. And they feel completely relaxed. Now in Raj Yoga we say, where Hatha Yoga ends, Raj Yoga begins. Because they end here, finish. After that what? They don't have knowledge of soul. They don't have knowledge of soul. They don't have knowledge of the Supreme Soul. And then what they say is, okay, go just become blank. Be here then blank. Total dead. That's relaxation. But then what after that? Here in Raj Yoga, Baba says, you start from here. And from here, you give strength to your senses. Because it's the soul which is giving strength to the senses. The soul is looking through these eyes. No? Eyes can't see on their own without the soul looking through them. The eyes are just like a lens of a camera. But the soul is looking through them. So too, when I become aware of myself here, now I'm able to give strength to my senses. And when I see I'm a soul looking through these eyes, if I don't want to look, I can withdraw. I don't want to look. That's why in English we have two words. One is looking, one is seeing. The eyes are open, I'm seeing everything, but I'm still not looking. You know, big difference between seeing and looking. These ears are open, I'm hearing many sounds, but I'm not listening to them. I'm not paying attention. Of course, the sounds come. But I am beyond them. I'm listening something which is inside. I'm really looking at myself, though I physically may be seeing all these things. So in a second I can withdraw from the pull of the physical consciousness and become a point of divine light. Now some may say that if I have physical pain, how to withdraw? But this is the real art. How to withdraw? We learned this from Dadi Janki. We learned it from Dadiji. We learned it from our seniors, you know, from the great yogi souls. There may be great pain in the body, but then just withdraw, just go beyond. Because if the soul is able to go beyond, the pain will not be experienced. The soul experiences the pain. The part of the body doesn't experience that pain. You know, when you extract your tooth, for example, they inject you, you know, they inject and then make this part from where they have to extract the tooth, they make it numb. And when it becomes numb, you don't feel any sensation, and they remove the tooth, so much blood is coming out, everything, and still you don't feel any pain. So what happens? Who gets the pain? It's not here. The pain is felt here, not here. And so when they inject, then they make it numb, and then therefore the pain is not experienced because it's made numb here, and the soul doesn't experience it. It's not connected. It is like made detached, and therefore the soul doesn't experience it. So Baba says, just as through injection they do it to make it numb, which is a physical method, you can do it in a spiritual way. By just going beyond in a second, I am a soul different from this body. I am very strong, I am very powerful, I am very pure, I am very peaceful, I am very loving, you know. That's the consciousness I have to keep in myself. And as I become aware of myself as a soul detached from this body, immediately I go beyond the pull of the senses. There may be a lot of pain, but no pain is felt when I am beyond the conscious pull of the senses. Like when somebody goes to sleep, however much pain he may have, but when he is asleep, no pain is felt. What happens? Where is the pain gone? Pain is there, but because maybe he has taken some drugs or maybe a sleeping pill or some tranquilizer, whatever, and that makes him go to sleep, and therefore the pain is not felt. You take a painkiller and the pain disappears for some time. But these are all physical methods. Medicine helps. But then we say meditation is above medicine. Taking blessings of people is even higher than meditation. So meditation is higher than medicine. So meditation, blessings of others, gives us that inner strength to go beyond the pull of karmic bondages of the body. And in an instance, I can become soul conscious. And when I am aware of myself as a point of divine energy, I become so subtle, I become so light, and as a small subtle point of light, I can fly. It shouldn't take long. The body shouldn't pull, because this will be our test at the end. When there'll be so much upheaval all around, everything will be in distress, there'll be so much of sorrow, so much of suffering, you know, so much of turmoil, you know, happening in the world. Many things, but at that time we should be able to be in that detached state in a second as a detached observer. So not only of the surroundings, but also of our own body. That will be our final paper. Detached from not just the body, but also the surroundings, the bodily relationships, the belongings, the attachments, whatever I'm attached to, I'll have to go beyond that in a second. But if I'm practicing it beforehand, it will be easy for me to detach. At the end, I'll have to anyway. So this is what Baba is preparing us for. To prepare us for that last scene, the last experience when the soul will have to leave the body. In the midst of all that turmoil, in the midst of all the upheavals. So through meditation, when we practice going beyond, we are like conquering karma bhog. Karma bhog is being transformed through karma yoga. Sometimes, as Baba says, even if somebody makes you, you know, it utters bad words to you, speaks ill to you, so many things in relationships, but it should not affect your mind. You should be able to go beyond that in a second. Why does insult affect me? Somebody insults me and immediately I experience sorrow. Why do I experience sorrow? Nobody can give me sorrow without my permission. He gave me sorrow, he gave me sorrow. How can he give you sorrow if you don't take sorrow? Nobody can forcibly give you sorrow. Forcibly, you can't give anything to anyone. So why did I take that sorrow? So I cannot blame him for giving me the sorrow, but I blame myself for having taken the sorrow. I take it, and why do I take it? It's because of my ego. My ego makes me take it. And I feel insulted. I feel the sorrow. But at that time, this is again where karma yoga works. At that time I say, well, some karmic accounts with him, settled, finished. If I'm affected, I'm creating more karmic accounts. If I answer him back, I'm creating more karmic accounts. Okay, I need not answer him back, but I go and tell 10 people about him, I'm creating more karmic accounts. If I start having hatred for him, I'm creating more karmic accounts. I may not insult him directly, but I'm telling others or I'm creating hatred for that person, I'm creating a bad atmosphere for that person. Again, I'm creating karmic accounts. Like Baba said in the Murli the other day, Avyakt Murli. I say it with force, so even that is creating a karmic account. And therefore Baba tells us, children, don't create more karmic accounts. And how can I not create more karmic accounts when I'm in that karma yoga state? Okay Baba, he's your child, take care of him. Don't carry the burden on your hand. Don't think that you can correct him. Don't think that you can change him. That is why they say, don't take the law in your hand. Even in the world, people say, I will change him, I will correct him, I will see that he changes. If he doesn't change, then you also won't change. You are creating your more karmic accounts. And therefore, let go. How will you let go? When you give your burden to Baba. Again, somebody asked me this question. How to give my burden to Baba? How? Well, how do you give your burden to Baba? How do you give your burden to somebody else? Once I went to somebody's house and there a child was crying. So the mother was attending to me, she was talking to me and the child there was crying. That baby was crying and crying and crying. Now the mother didn't know because I was there and I was a guest in her house and she had to give me time. And how could she give time to the child? So what she did, she told her husband, please take care of the child. I want to speak to sister. And the husband was very good. Okay, he took the child away so that the mother could, attend to me. So she gave the child to her husband. And he was playing with the father. With the mother he was crying, but with the father he was playing. So how did she give? Because at that time she wanted to speak to me, she wanted to attend to me, but the child wasn't like an obstacle. But okay, she gave it to her husband, or give it to the servant, like that. Now, Baba says, give your burden to me. We find it difficult because I think it's my burden, no, it's mine. Again, the attachment comes. It's not mine. Nothing is mine. If this body is not mine, what is mine? Nothing is mine. Because whatever I have is all with the body, no? The soul will go all by itself. Any relationship is not with human soul. Human soul relationship, the original relationship, we're all brothers. We're all children of one father. So when Baba says, give your burden to me, it means that tell Baba, Baba, you have to take care of it. And Baba says, why don't you use me? We don't use Baba. We think my burden I have to take care. I am responsible. But here Baba is saying, I have come to take your burden. It's just like, you know, you enter a train, you enter the flight, and you have two suitcases to carry, and you have to check in your luggage, no? Your hand luggage is separate, but the checked-in luggage is quite heavy, 23 kilos, whatever, 20 kilos. So that you check in, you have to send in. You can't carry all that burden with you. So the plane is carrying your burden, no? It's not, you are going with your luggage. But at that time you have to forget that luggage, no? It is with you, don't worry. Your hand luggage, okay, you are aware of, but the check-in luggage, you don't know where it is. And then when you come out at your destination, then your luggage comes to you. You've already given it to the airlines. So too Baba says, give your burden to me. Burden to me in the sense, do not think that it belongs to you and therefore it is yours. No, Baba, you take care. There's a very interesting joke on this. That once somebody was entering a train, he entered the train, he had this suitcase on his head, and when he sat in the train, he put his suitcase on his head only. So somebody said, well, how funny you are, why don't you put the suitcase down, you know, in the train, the train will carry you, so why are you putting this suitcase on your head, put it under the seat. He said, but my ticket which I have bought is only for me, not for my luggage. So people said, how funny you are, if the train is taking you, it will take your luggage also, no? It won't leave your luggage behind, it is with you. So just leave it down. But no attachment with that luggage, with that suitcase. So how can he allow that suitcase to be under the chair, under the seat? My suitcase, mine. And here Baba says, nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. Even this body is not mine. In Hindi we say, chodo to chuto, you know. You have something in your hand. How can you, for example, I'm sitting on this chair and I want to get up. How can I get up if I'm attached to this chair? I can't get up. I'll have to let go. I have to leave this chair if I want to get up. Otherwise, how can I be light? I will not be able to move with the chair. For how long? I'll have to get up. I'll have to leave the chair behind. So when Baba says, give your burden to me, it means do not question, oh, how will this happen? Will it happen or not happen? This, that. This is like carrying the burden on your head. Okay, Baba, you take care. I am free. Tell Baba. And you'll feel so relaxed, so peaceful, so light. And let me tell you, Baba will do the work. But then if I think, no, I am responsible, Baba will say, okay, go, do it. Like somebody tells you, I'll do it. So you say, okay, do it. But if you really want, he wants you to help you, he will tell you, please, and you are most willing to help him. So God is there with you, and he is telling the children, use me. Just try to surrender. Try to give to Baba to take care of your burden. I give you a very interesting incident, you know. Once one lady came to me, she was so much in distress. Not in Baba's knowledge, but she, you know, we conduct Raj Yoga camps. So she came because somebody told her that go to the Brahma Kumaris, learn Raj Yoga meditation, then your stress will be lessened, you will get peace of mind. So she came to me and she said, sister, I have a very bad problem. I said, what is the problem? She said, you know, my son, he is in bad company, I don't know what to do with him, he takes drugs, he comes home late, and you know, all the bad things about her son. And I said, what do you do then? She said, whenever I see him, I curse him, go and die. That's what is going on in my mind all the time, and I'm so stressed, I don't know what to do with my son. Sister, please help me, guide me, what should I do? So the first thing I told him, tell me, sister, do you really want him to die? She said, no. Well, if you don't want him to die, then why do you say that, first of all? But what to do, sister? I'm so fed up of him. He doesn't listen to me. He's like this, like this, like this. I said, first of all, stop saying that. If you don't want something to happen, don't say it. Don't even think about that. Okay, then what should I do? She said, I said, first of all, tell me, instead of blaming him, ask yourself, what is my weakness? She said, I don't have any weakness. I said, check again, check again. Before you change him, you have to change yourself. But what, I don't have any weakness. I said, well, do you have attachment to him? Are you attached to him? She thought for a while, yes, I'm very attached to him. So I said, this is what you have to give up first. This attachment is causing your sorrow. Well, whatever's happened in the past is past. You can't change that. But in the present, what you can change is, first give up your attachment. How can I give up my attachment, she asked. I said, very easy. You just tell God, Shiv Baba, okay, now you have knowledge of who God is. Tell Shiv Baba, Baba, this child is yours. He's not mine, he's your child. Take care of him. Take care of him, Baba. Take care of him. He's your child. Give your burden to God. When you say, my son, my son, my son, then the attachment will come. Hey, Baba is your child. Take care of him. And then when he comes, don't have any feeling of hatred for him. At that time, look at him and give him the good wishes. May he change. May he change. He's Baba's child. May he change. May he change. Baba, he is your child. And let me tell you how it will work. It will be a miracle. Try this. This is a very good method. And really, when she went back, whenever she would face her son, instead of saying, go and die, she would say, God, take care of him. He's your child. Your child. And she would give him a very loving drishti with all the care, with the love. Then the child began to realize himself, my mother has changed so much. I also must change. I also must change. And then himself came and asked for forgiveness and said, Mommy, I will surely change. And within 6 months, he was completely changed. So what was the magic? The magic was the change in her consciousness. That's what brought the change in him also. So what we usually do is, oh, he's my son, why doesn't he change? So my son and why doesn't he change? First of all, there is the attachment. Then secondly, there is the ego, the possessiveness. And fourthly, the hatred. You know, all these negativities are accumulating. And we want him to change. How will he change? He will never change. And that will result in more and more stress. The relationships will become worse and worse. The karmic accounts are increasing. So when these karmic accounts keep increasing, then how can you not expect the sorrow to come? The sorrow will finish only when the karmic accounts finish. And therefore, Baba says, in order to finish the impure karmic accounts which we have with soul because of these vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, prejudice, hatred, jealousy, all these create vicious karmic accounts, impure karmic accounts which result in sorrow. So in order to change them, we need the soul conscious attitude. We need to give that burden to Baba. We need to really feel our original state of purity and peace and love and happiness and feel that for other souls, be in that consciousness. Only then the bondages will finish. So transforming karam bhog, the suffering of karma, into karma yoga is through soul consciousness and God consciousness. But in today's world, people have forgotten both these type of consciousness. Either they are too much karma conscious, my karma, I am doing, or they are too much success conscious. Success. I am one success. Of course, we have to think of goals, no doubt. We have to think. But think of those goals which are possible. Possible in the sense, success is inevitable if my karmas are good. I don't have to think of the success. Like an actor, he knows that if he acts in a good way, it will definitely be a success. You know, his acting will be a success, the film will be a success. He must act properly. So too, my actions should be the righteous ones. And how will they be the righteous ones? Only when I'm soul conscious and God conscious. And how do I become soul conscious and God conscious? Through this awareness. Awareness is important. Who am I? Who am I? I have to give that awareness to me all the time because I have forgotten it. And that's what Baba says, make it your natural nature. Body consciousness has become my natural nature. I don't have to think of it. I know my name, my form, my you know, everything. I'm so natural in it. I don't have to repeat it in myself. But soul conscious attitude, soul conscious nature has to be brought in the awareness through that, through the churning again and again, because I keep forgetting. The body consciousness comes easily. And that is what Baba says through meditation. Take out time. Become aware of the self as a point of light, seated at the center of the forehead, master of the senses. Become detached from the body, and then you can keep adding more and more. Whose child am I? Where am I from? Remind yourself. You may say, I know it, but just knowing is not enough. That's what Baba says. Revising it, realizing it, then experiencing it, becoming part of it, that is what we have to do in order to feel that state or to get that strength. Eating food alone is not enough. We have to assimilate, we have to digest, we have to, you know, do so many things. The stomach is doing all that. But then these things are physical and the physical organs are doing that. But the mental side, the spiritual side, I have to make the efforts. So when Baba says this body belongs to Baba, so even if there's karma you bhog, there is suffering, at that time don't think, oh my karma, Baba, this body is yours. Some say, I can't serve through the body. Okay, serve through the mind. What did Baba Mama do? Not that they didn't go through sufferings, karma bhog, even they had. Baba was also in the hospital. He was operated upon a number of times. Mama too, in her last stage, she had, her body was very bad. Dadiji. But then, if you looked at their faces, always smiling. Dadi Janki, even she has many physical problems. But Dadi doesn't like if somebody asks her, Dadi, how is your health? She doesn't like. She says, why is my ill health visible on my face that you are asking? She doesn't like it. But whenever she feels her body is not in order, she just goes into hibernation, you know, she goes into hibernation. 4 hours, now she is off, she's off, she doesn't come out. She's in total rest. And then she's back again. You sometimes wonder how she does it. But she has now learned this art of looking after her body. So we see that every soul has its own part, you know, each soul is different. But what has I to do? What is my part? This is what I should know. What is the best way I can do with myself? So if body belongs to Baba, the mind also belongs to Baba, it has to be brought into the consciousness. My mind, Baba says, don't say that. My mind is stressful. No, no, no. Where is my mind? Mind is given to Baba. The burden belongs to Baba. So this is what Baba says, give your burden to me, use me. This is changing or transforming karma bhog into karma yoga. Is it easy or difficult? Is it easy or difficult? Huh? Even relationships, even wealth. Baba says, become a trustee. Can I become a trustee of my wealth? If I am a trustee of my wealth, I cannot use that wealth for any other purpose except only for a good cause. This wealth cannot be used lavishly. It cannot be used extravagantly, you know, buying anything which is not wanted. No, this is Baba's money. It's Baba's wealth. You know, people, you know, they smoke, and if you ask them, why are you smoking? You know, smoking is not good for your health. So what? I earn. It's my money. I can smoke, I can drink, I can do this. It's my money. I'm earning. But here we can't say this is my money. It's Baba's money. I'm only entrusted. And Baba said, I don't want anything from you. Keep it with you. But just change the consciousness. It belongs to Baba. And therefore, I will use my money only through Srimad, whatever Baba wants me to do. So my body, mind, wealth, relationships, even the relationships, they're all based on karmic accounts. And once these karmic accounts are over, no one really belongs to anyone. So when no one really belongs to anyone, then why should there be any pulls? If there are pulls, if there are attachments, if there are attractions, if there's possessiveness, all this is creating more karmic accounts. And therefore Baba says, we have to learn to be detached in a second, to become detached observers, one Baba, none other. This is karma yoga. Do your actions, but Baba, you are with me. And sometimes Baba says, it's not just two hands working, it's thousands of hands working, because Baba is with you, helping you at every step. You know, many people say, oh, I'm so all alone, I have to do all the work, I have to do this, nobody helps me, nobody comes to me, nobody supports me, nobody is there. Never think in this way. Baba is there. Baba is helping me, Baba is supporting me, Baba is working with me. It's not two hands. And therefore, whatever I do it happily, because thousands of hands are there helping me. Baba's hands are thousands. And then see how everything will work so well. But if I'm working and grumbling too, I'm all alone, nobody helping me, nobody doing this, nobody will come in front of you. But yes, Baba is there, and then how Baba will send anybody will has help, because I'm with Baba, so Baba will send somebody and help me. But let me not grumble, let me not be unhappy, let me not feel distressed. Okay, Baba, yes, I'm with you, you're with me, thousands of hands are working. Yes, Baba, one Baba, none other, and be happy. This is what we see in the dadis. We see how they are running the administration. Everything is so beautiful. In what way? Because they know that they are doing nothing. Baba is taking care. The problems are there, not that problems aren't there. Students' problems, worldly problems, government problems, this problem, that problem. But they don't keep on lamenting this problem, that they don't say. Yes, Baba, Baba's taking care, and how it works. So this is changing karma bhog, though any type of suffering, just go beyond. Soul conscious and God conscious, and surrendering everything to Baba, doing your best in that soul conscious way, not thinking of the result, being as a detached observer will change everything into karma yoga and settle all the karmic accounts. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Yes? Anyone? Anyone wants to ask anything? No? Okay. Then let us sit now for 15 minutes. in that powerful remembrance. Surrendering the I and my to Baba. With that complete faith, that I belong to Baba. This body belongs to Baba. The mind belongs to Baba. The wealth belongs to Baba. The relationships belong to Baba. I'm only a trustee. I have had so many physical bodies. I have changed so many costumes. I will relinquish even this physical costume when I return home to the soul world. My mind is also surrendered to Baba. Baba says, see and don't see, hear and don't hear. See only Baba, hear from Baba. Talk only with Baba. listen only from Baba. Keep your mind very clear. To receive Baba's teachings. Even the wealth belongs to Baba. I brought nothing and I shall take nothing. The wealth of knowledge will accompany me, nothing else. That is my true wealth. Which Baba gives me at this time. I'm only a trustee. I have to use every penny in a worthwhile way. My lokic relationships are also based on karmic accounts. Nothing belongs to me. With love and detachment, I interact with all. Learned to let go. I have learned to forgive and forget. I do not have to create any more karmic accounts. I have to finish my 63 births karmic accounts through yoga power. Through soul consciousness and God consciousness. karma consciousness makes me heavy. With soul consciousness, I become light. I am only an instrument. In Baba's hands, Baba is using me for his great task. And I use Baba by giving my burdens to him. By surrendering to him. Thank you, Baba, for giving me such wisdom. Thank you, Baba, for making me so light. In your company, I experience great comfort and solace. You are the truth, the benefactor, the most beautiful, the Almighty. Under your canopy of protection, I'm completely safe. Your hand of blessings is above me. I'm a blessed soul. Free soul. A light soul. A pure soul. Peaceful soul. A blissful soul. A powerful soul.